From deep within enemy country of St. Louis, Missouri, this is Stuart, and you're listening to the IVMD podcast brought to you by proud Patreon supporters like me, as long as I don't get caught. Go Cubs!
While everyone waits to see what the Cubs will do with free agent starting pitching, the Cubs add a few arms to help strengthen the overall pitching staff. On this episode, we'll let you know who they brought in, we will answer several listener questions, and we'll read some internet muscle flexes. All of these things and more on this, the 366th episode of the IVNP podcast. Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMB podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and joining me, the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
How you guys doing?
Pretty great. Good. Thanks for asking.
Good.
Yeah.
Wish you'd ask more often at the beginning.
I did ask you.
I feel like you don't care.
You guys ready to get this work week started?
It's a short one. So that's keeping my spirits up.
I know. I only have like a day and three quarters to work this week.
I'm gonna give some thanks.
Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays.
Yeah, me too. It's like food.
There's baggage attached to it.
Exactly.
Except you to be with your family, you eat a lot of good food, and
well, family can be baggage.
That's true, but then you get to leave. And depending on whether or not your family's a drinking family or not, then that always helps.
So yeah, the holidays are coming up. Black Friday and Cyber Monday are later, in the next week. And if you do your holiday shopping on Amazon, we would appreciate it if you go to IVMV.com and click on the Amazon link on the side of the page. And Amazon gives us a cut from their profits on your purchases. It's easy. And your shopping experience is the same. It doesn't cost you an extra penny. So tell your relatives, your coworkers, anybody that you know that shops on Amazon. It's really just one extra click and it helps us quite a bit. Did you guys see the see Danny Rocket's video for the I Am Missing You song?
Yes.
I did see you feed your chickens.
I'm feeding my chickens several times.
And then, taking out the garbage.
Over and over again, feeding the chickens. Well, it is one of the best little vignettes on the video, although there are some other pretty funny ones.
Oh, there's some good stuff. So yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. There's lots of IVMV listeners in the video, and I will put the link to the video in the notes for this episode at IVMV.com if you haven't seen it yet. But Danny's so good at what he does. Yeah,
it's funny.
It's good. It's good and sad. Okay, so I'm gonna rant on Stitcher here a little bit.
That was a nice transition.
It's an off season.
Danny's really good at making songs. And hold on, I'm gonna bust off on Stitcher now.
All right, so if you're listening to this episode, you're probably not using Stitcher to listen to our podcast. If you do use Stitcher, who knows when you'll hear this, because Stitcher is not updating our episodes right now. So here's just a little public service announcement. Stitcher sucks. And if you listen to podcasts on Stitcher, I'm sorry, but it's time to move on. It's time to go somewhere else. I know everybody gets used to what you do and it works for you. And so you go with it, but Stitcher really sucks. And I would say 5 or 6 times a year, we have issues with Stitcher, and it's not just our podcast. I know a lot of other podcasts that have issues with Stitcher. And what sucks is, so they were bought out by Deezer. And apparently all of the good people,
Deezer.
Have you heard of Deezer? It's like huge in Europe. It's like the Europe. It's like the Spotify of Europe.
I figured it was Europe. Figured Europe was responsible for Deezer.
No offense to our European listeners.
Offense to our European listeners. Thanks a lot for Deezer.
Maybe they'll improve it.
No, I don't think so. So when Deezer bought them out, all the good people at Stitcher apparently left. Their social accounts are dead. They don't respond to email. There used to be like people I actually like knew to contact there to fix any issues, and they're gone. There's no way to contact them. So Stitcher is not displaying our last episode at the time of this recording. They won't be probably displaying this one. And to be honest, their service just sucks. So if you use Stitcher, just stop. There's much better podcast apps out there. If you're on iOS, I would suggest Pocket Cast or Overcast, or just the native iOS podcast app. That works well, too. If you're on Android, Pocket Cast is probably the way to go. And at some point in 2016, podcasts will be added to the Google Music or Google Play, whatever that thing's called. What's it called?
Play Store.
Yeah, the Play Store. I don't know. If you don't and if you don't listen to that many podcasts, and so Stitcher is just easy for you, then my suggestion is to download the free IVNV app. It's on Android and iOS. Just search for it in the iOS store, or you can go to ivnv.com/iOS or in the Google Play Store, or ivnv.com/Google. I think it's slash Google. Anyway, I don't know. I hate Stitcher. It's such a crummy podcasting app. And so if you have any questions about podcast apps or anything like that, just email me. I'd be happy to help you find something better. You can email me, Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at ivnv.com. So in our last episode, we looked at starting pitching free agents that the Cubs are likely looking at this offseason. If you haven't listened yet, go back and check out that episode. Not on Stitcher, of course. the Cubs have added some pitching in the last few days. And so let's start things off with Spencer Patton.
Yeah, I was hoping we would start with Spencer Patton. He was acquired in a trade with the Rangers for Freddy De La Rosa, an infielder who played for Eugene this season. Patton is 27.275 years old, and he's a righty relief pitcher who has only pitched 33.1 innings in his major league career. He gave up a lot of runs in those innings, in those few innings, to say the least, but he does have the ability to strike a lot of guys out, to miss some bats, and so he's going to be there for bullpen depth, basically, and who knows if we ever see him or not, but that's our buddy, Mr. Patton.
Yeah, I liked it that when that trade happened, I'm not going to call anybody out by name, but I liked how people were like, oh, who got traded? Because at first we didn't really know who the Cubs gave away. And instantly I saw some like pretty ridiculous, like, oh, we must have given up. I saw Vogelbach thrown out there. I was like, nah, I don't think so.
Well, Frandy is like a guy that's doesn't have a great on base percentage, has no power, has a little bit of speed, hits for an okay average. You know, it's like one of those dudes.
Well, Andy was only in Boise, or I mean, Eugene, right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But he was an international signing, right? So they probably had him since he was like 16.
Right.
Yeah. But I liked it that after it happened and we discovered who it was, I saw people saying like, oh, hate to lose Frandy. And I mean, there's some people like, you know, John Arguello from Cubs Den that probably knew Frandy pretty well, but there were some people I was like, there's no way you would ever. I did the Daily Northside recap and I didn't know who Frandy was.
I'm surprised we haven't talked about him with a name like Frandy.
Yeah, I know. That's the biggest disappointment, is losing a fella named Frandy.
A fella named Frandy.
Okay, so then the Cubs also picked up John Leathersich. Leathersich, I guess is how you say it. I'm not sure. I haven't heard his name said yet, so I'm saying it for the first time.
I'm going to go with sick. Leathersich. I prefer that.
Leathersich? Okay, we'll go with Leathersich.
Sick leather.
So Leathersich has been with the Mets, and he's 25 and climbed up through the Mets organization, and then he was called up this season, pitched in 17 games. And when looking at his stats, his strikeout rate in the minors, that's the first thing that catches your eye. In 2014, between AA and AAA, he had a strikeout rate of over 15 per nine innings. That obviously dropped when he got called up to the Mets, but it was still 10.8 strikeouts per nine with the Mets. His walk rate is pretty high, though. He had Tommy John surgery in July, and you'll remember this front office's tendency to acquire pitchers coming off of Tommy John surgery. And Leathersich will start on the he'll start 2016 on the DL, the 60-day DL, and you know, as he continues to recover that Tommy John surgery. So I think if all goes well, Leathersick will probably be ready to go in the second half of the season. And he really could be kind of a nice boost to the bullpen when some other guys are getting tired in August and September. And I really think this is something we could see the Cubs do over the next few seasons. And I guess other than like the key pieces like closer and setup guy and stuff like that, we might see them bringing in fresh arms later in the season, which would allow them to have a quicker hook with starters, which can help them also go deeper in the season. We saw the Cubs kind of do that this year. The bullpen at the end of the season looked quite a bit different than it did at the beginning of the season. And so I think that the Cubs might be doing that just to keep arms fresh. And, you know, it's kind of an ideal setup with Leathersick that's about when he'll be ready to go. And he should be hopefully, you know, 100% and have a real fresh arm when they need arms.
Are you saying like leather healthy?
Right. That's what I'm saying, Andy.
Okay. All right.
So we probably won't hear Leathersick/Leathersich. Won't hear his name until later in the season. But this could be a move, I think, that'll really help the team in like a late season push. So I think it's a good move. I don't, you know.
Yeah. Sounds good. And when we talk about guys like this too, you know, I think people always need to keep in mind that they could be moved or traded before
right. They
even sniff the Cubs, you know, system or whatever.
Right. So, I mean, the Cubs claimed him off waivers. And so what would probably happen, or what I assumed happened, was probably the Mets were kind of trying to like sneak him through waivers, knowing that they had spots that they needed to fill on their 40 man to, you know, to avoid losing players in a Rule 5 draft, and the Cubs picked him off waiver. So one more
got
pitch.
Him.
Yep,
got him.
Yep. And then the Cubs signed another 25-year-old reliever, Adury Acevedo. Is that how you say it, you think, Andy?
Adury, yeah.
Adury
Acevedo.
Acevedo.
Acevado. I'm sorry. There's an A there. Acevado. Anyway, yeah, he's a minor league right-handed pitcher who is a converted infielder. And he made it to the AAA level in the Yankees organization last season. He'll be a bullpen guy, and he's struggled with control a lot in the past. But apparently, you know, he's been continuing to improve his control, and if he can do that, he could be a pretty effective piece for the Cubs. But he has yet to throw for a big league team yet. So it's a kind of a bold move, I guess. Like just adding this guy to the 40 man.
Yeah.
But he could be something as long as his control continues to improve.
Yeah. I think. And these are names I think that we're not going to see on the opening day roster. I wouldn't think. But like I said, it's just that organizational bullpen depth that could factor in later in the season. So let's briefly touch on a few other things that happened this week in preparation for the Rule 5 draft. The Cubs have added some players to the 40-man roster.
Yeah, and with those guys you guys mentioned, and then these additions, that they sit at 37 now, so they still got some room. But to protect these guys from the Rule 5, they added Wilson Contreras, Jamer Candelario, Pierce Johnson, and Dan Vogelbach. I wouldn't call any of these guys a surprise. So all worth protecting. You don't want to just let them go for nothing.
Yeah. Yep. And then the Rule 5 draft is what, in like a couple weeks?
December 10th.
Okay. So about 3 weeks, I guess. So, yeah, I guess that's really all we have as far as, well, one last thing here before we move on to listener questions. Did you guys see that David Ross has indicated that he plans to retire after the 2016 season?
Yeah, I mean, he's the only player in the Cubs that you and I can relate to age-wise, Corey. I mean, for the most part. But the dude's played for seven different teams. And as far as I know, he's only been a starter with the 06-07 Reds, which are teams that featured Moneyball's Scott Hatteberg and Farney's Ryan Friel. And
R.I.P.
You guys rake me over the coals for suggesting that Ross could hit four home runs this season. but he hit 38 home runs over those two seasons combined.
Wow.
When he got some at bats.
He hit his age.
Yeah. he hit his his future age at the time.
Yeah, I suppose at some point you're bound to hit your future age.
This is for 2015 me. Crack. But yeah, he played for the world champion 2013 Red Sox, but I'm sure he'd love to go out on top again in 2016.
Yeah.
So my question is, does that mean that John Lester has nobody to pitch to? Are the Cubs going to,
have to waive him?
Right. No, I guess they'll bring in Coy Hill. He could probably pitch him. Or I wonder what Paul Bacco's up to.
Well, I don't know.
Yay, light hitting catcher jokes. Yay.
What about Jason Kendall?
God blesses everyone.
What's he doing?
All right. Well,
Taylor mentions that Ross is going to most like, there's no way the dude doesn't end up being a manager at some point.
Or at least a coach.
Of some sort, manager. Yeah.
Yeah. And I wouldn't mind seeing him become some sort of coach in the Cubs organization. I could see that happening.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Teach Wilson how to frame.
Right. Yeah.
Better. I have no idea how good of a pitch framer Wilson Contreras is, but maybe he's amazing already. Yeah, I have nothing to learn.
Better than Wellington Castillo.
All right. So on the last episode, we asked for you to send in your questions for this episode. I said Cubs, non-Cubs, baseball, non-baseball, didn't matter. And we have a good mix. But before we get to those questions, we did get a voicemail that I want to play for you guys. And you're hearing it for the first time.
Yeah, I'm not prepared for this.
No, like the listeners, this is your first time. So I want you guys to hear this.
Hi, Corey, Andy, Kurt. It's Troy from the Oregon coast, formerly Troy from Kentucky, formerly Troy from Tennessee. And I'll go ahead and tell you guys, this is a weird call, and I have no intentions of you putting it on the air, but this happened to me, and I thought I'd share it with you, and maybe you'll appreciate it. I had this dream the other night that I was in Illinois, which is weird because I'm nowhere near that. I thought I would stop by because Corey's wife was in the hospital, and I thought I would visit and offer some goodwill. So I'm like in a hospital room saying hello, you start to leave, and so follow Corey down to some convention hall in the bottom of the hospital, and he's giving some kind of like keynote speech on podcasting, and which, by the way, is in the bottom of the hospital. So he starts his speech, and I kind of give him the head nod and wave goodbye, and then start to walk away. And then I realized that I have forgotten to get my shoes when I left the hospital room. And so now I'm like in this weird situation where I have to go back to the hospital room, where I guess Tawny is still there, but not with Corey anymore, and ask for my shoes. So I start making my way back to the hospital room, and I'm going up these escalators, and like each floor of the hospital has some kind of weird different floor, like one's a casino. I realized that I don't even remember where the hospital room is. And luckily for me at this point, I look down and my shoes are on my feet. And that's about the time that I woke up. That was weird. And hope you guys got a laugh out of that. I don't know if this means anything or if it might be some kind of prediction of Cubs success in the future or something. But I thought you might appreciate that for some reason you guys made it into one of my dreams. With that, keep doing what you're doing. And just made a move. But once I get my finances in order, I plan to support you guys because you've made my Cubs enjoyment much better. So just know that somebody out there is thinking about you even in their sleep. And hope you guys are enjoying the off season. Later.
Oh my gosh, that was amazing.
I know.
I just want to know what happened to Tawny. I hope she's okay.
See, I want to be concerned. Tawny's a bit of a hypochondriac, and so like I played that for her earlier today, and I was sure she was going to be like, oh, okay, this means something. What am I going to the hospital for? I really thought that's the direction it was going to go, but
I'm glad she's okay.
Yeah.
Well, if I ever have to go to the hospital, I want to go to the one with the floor that's a casino.
The casino and the convention center down below.
And one where you take your shoes off when you enter a room.
No, it's clean. Perhaps Japanese.
So I thought that was awesome. So I had to play it for you guys. I had to share it with everybody, even though at the beginning, Troy says...
This is weird.
Yeah, and it something about how we didn't need to play it or wasn't meant for on air or something. All right.
As soon as you say that, it means it's getting played.
Yeah, I was like, oh, got to work that into the agenda. All right, so we have a lot of questions here. The first couple come from Ryan from Florida. Says, do you think if we sign Price, we will not be able to re-sign Arrieta? I'm leaning towards two cheaper options, but... I am not sure we can re-sign Arrieta with Boris as his agent.
I think they can do both.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're able to extend Arrieta, like you said, with Boris as his agent is yet to be seen. But
you think financially?
Financially, I think it's...
Man, yeah, that's...
I think they could do both.
A lot of money wrapped up in starting pitching. If you have Lester, Price, yeah, and Arrieta getting a contract anywhere near that.
Yeah. Well, and keep in mind that Jake isn't a free agent until what, 2018?
And I think he's got two more years, yeah.
So, I mean, it behooves the Cubs to kind of wait and see if maybe his value slightly diminishes or, you know, I don't know. Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I,
his value is really high right now.
Right. I don't think exactly. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but we talked about this like on our first episode after the season ended. And that's what I was saying was like if you try to extend him out now, this you're doing it like you're buying high.
Right. And I think most more reasonable agents, they would be able to say that. Be like, look, we want to extend you now, which means you have to give us a bit of a break, and then you don't have to go through all that. But Boris and then Arrieta coming out this season, there's not a whole lot of incentive for them to sign an extension right now.
Yeah, I think unless they can work something out where they actually do get a good deal on them, I would think they will wait.
Yeah, and that I think Boris just does not extend, especially team friendly. That just doesn't happen. So
right.
Don't hold your breath on that one.
His second question is, do you have any experience with MLB.TV looking to get rid of cable, but not at the expense of watching my Cubs? So,
yeah,
he lives in Florida, so he doesn't have to worry about blackout issues. So,
I'd say I've had it for two years.
Yeah, I had
it. I'd say,
go ahead.
I just say, yeah, I wouldn't hesitate to do it at all, especially if you live out of market. I would 100% recommend it, because then you can use it mobile, you know, iPads or tablets or whatever you have. You could use it on like a Roku or other streaming thing. It's great. I mean, the app itself is actually really amazing. Our complaints are always with blackouts and restrictions like that.
Even if you find ways around blackouts, that doesn't work on mobile devices like iPads or iPhones, because
they always know where you are.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
There's no way to turn it off.
Yeah. So yeah, I think if you live outside of the blackout area, mm-hmm, absolutely.
And you have good internet service, like good speed.
Yeah. It doesn't even have to be like amazing though. I mean, ours is, we live in the middle of nowhere, so ours is decent and it's good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, MLB Advanced Media is actually really good at what they do. They just make dumb rules.
Right, right. Yeah. This next one comes from Dave. He says, so I read that Jose Fernandez might be a guy the Marlins are willing to trade. I know he had an arm injury, but he's a top-notch stud with three controllable years remaining. Would you trade Soler and Baez slash Castro for him? Would he be a guy that would make the Cubs think about dealing Schwarber? Just curious as to what you thought. Have a good day.
I have a pretty straight answer, and that is no. I hope not, because I don't know much about him, but I believe some of the issue with him is clubhouse problems.
Well, but keep in mind you're hearing that from the Marlins.
Right.
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, to me, like any doubt, you don't go throwing.
Right, but he could actually be a good clubhouse guy, but
yeah,
for the Marlins, that's a bad fit.
That's true. It's just hard when you hear rumors like that, given like how great this team chemistry is.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I just wouldn't want to see him sell the farm.
Well,
for him,
yeah. I mean, he's like a 23-year-old, basically ace. He has some incredible movement on his pitches. I was watching some videos today. So I think if the Cubs are interested in him, it's going to take a lot to get Fernandez. Luckily my job does not hang in the balance on these types of decisions. So, I mean, if you know that he will not be bad for the clubhouse, and you're just going off, you know, what his skills are and him being 23 years old and having, you know, as Dave said, 3 controllable years, I think it's a trade you look at doing. You know, I think if it's Soler and Baez, yeah, maybe Soler and Castro, I'm not sure. And Schwarber, no. That's kind of where I stand with it.
I would say true. If you could assure, which of course I'll never know. We'll never know the whole clubhouse side of things. But if that weren't an issue, I would agree with that. That if you can get him, great. I mean, who doesn't want a guy that's 23 and has that kind of stuff? But those guys are usually pretty costly.
Yeah.
On the trade front.
Yeah. I like the idea. Like I said, as long as he matches, if he would be a good fit in the clubhouse. And obviously the front office is way smarter than us. And
they know more people.
Right, right. They have way better analytics team than we do. and I don't know. It's just really hard to speculate trade exchanges. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. Jason in Korea here. Well, he starts it off with benevolent overlord and fellow masters of the Cubiverse.
Ooh. I have the power.
I'm facing a potential dilemma that has me mildly concerned. My Air Force tour in Korea is coming to an end, and I'm looking at an assignment to Scott Air Force Base, Illinois, a mere 19 miles from the Hellmouth itself. What should I expect as a Cub fan deep in enemy territory? Any tips on surviving what I'm calling my impending Cardmageddon? Also, do you know what type of
Cubs most equipped to answer this, Corey?
Yeah, he also says.
Well, first of all, two words: dishonorable discharge.
Well, I mean,
call it AWOL.
Right. Well, Stuart, you know, he started this thing off, and he's deep within enemy territory.
He's dipped from enemy territory.
That's a whole nother level of spy games and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I live in an area that is probably 50-50, but I work in an area that leans Cubs. So I can't really tell you because I think the Cardinals fans that I know are probably not like Cardinals fans that you're going to encounter in Southern Illinois. No offense to the Southern Illinois folks, but, you know, it is what it is.
I kind of thought that moving to Iowa City, though, because I'm an Illinois guy. Sorry to Hawkeye fans, which... we do have quite a few listener Hawkeye fans, but you know, I moved here thinking I was moving right into the heart of it, but it's actually been quite nice. Iowa City folks are pretty nice. So I don't know. I think outside of baseball, perhaps some St. Louis area people are probably okay. Just maybe just pretend you don't like baseball.
Under your button down shirt. Yeah. It's like Superman. You tear it away and there's a Cubs logo underneath.
Jason also asks what type of Cubs coverage he can expect in the Belleville, Illinois area. He said, thank you and pray for me.
Probably all Cardinals coverage.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to, I don't even think there's probably any radio stations down that way that are part of the Cubs radio network. There might be, I'm not sure.
It's got to be out of the blackout range.
I don't think so.
All of Illinois is blackout.
Yeah.
Well, that's lame. Yeah. Have we talked about that yet?
There's no common sense in the blackout region. It's just
yeah.
Silly. So yeah, I don't know. You might have to get creative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Email me. I'll let you know how to do it.
Yep. There you go.
Although I don't know if you can do it when you're in the military.
Oh, that's good.
Charged by breaking the law.
That's a good question. Huh, I didn't think about that. I bet he can.
You have to conspire with a Canadian company to do it.
I mean, don't they get special privileges, though?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe they did. They don't. The blackouts don't apply.
Don't apply to active military.
Yeah, no kidding. This next one comes from Jason, who is at @baseball_rights. He says, been thinking about what the ideal offseason would look like, and this is what I've landed on. I want to know what you guys think. If these are the Cubs' major moves, how would you feel about it? Sign Jeff Samardzija for 5 years, $80 million. Sign Denard Span for 3 years, $42 million. And sign Ben Zobrist for 3 years, $48 million. Trade Soler and Pierce Johnson for Julio Teheran. And then he said they would have to throw in a prospect, I guess meaning the Braves. With these additions, how would you feel about the team for 2016? Do you think any of these are huge overpays? So say that happens. What do you think?
I don't care for the, I don't know. I don't know other center field options that are out there, but I don't really like the idea of getting Denard Span for 3 years. That dude is, he's 31. And he's coming off of hip surgery. And it makes me wonder about if, it would just be like Dexter Fowler, but worse. Like,
yeah. I mean, he was a speed guy, and then it dropped off after that surgery too.
Yeah,
on stolen bases, and
well, and I think
if it weren't for injury issues, I like him. But I agree with what you're saying.
I think 3 years, 42 is high too.
Well, considering the Nationals didn't give him a qualifying offer.
Right.
So there's something to that too, because he was sort of one of those bubble guys that you thought, wow, that's a little bit surprising. What do they know?
Yeah.
But I do love the idea of picking up, trying to trade for a pitcher like Julio Teheran, but I don't feel like the Cubs are going to part with Pierce Johnson. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, it's like they got to take some pride in, like, yeah, like the lone guys that are homegrown as far as pitching or whatever. And in fact, like, he's not completely, but it's just, I don't know. I feel like they're going to give him a chance with the Cubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as like Samardzija, I don't know. I'm probably not as warm on Samardzija as some people are. I think there are other options out there that are as good. I do like Corey pointed out last week, his low innings total, but
I'm different than that. I like the idea of getting Samardzija.
I don't know. What is that? $16 million a year? That seems
meh. That's about what they offered him before. Didn't they offer him 4 5 years, 75?
Yeah. I just feel like, I don't know. I guess I'm kinda like on the big free agent and then like maybe one other scrap heap guy.
Well,
I
think you have to look at the Samardzija thing as in that's what they were willing to pay him before. And I think that he's not, he had a bad season this year, but he still has the things that they saw before. So I think if they can get him at the price that they offered, I think they do it.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't be upset with him. He's sort of like not at the top of my wish list.
Well, looking at Jason's scenario here, I don't think that Samardzija can be like, I think if you can get like two bigger names, you know, like two of the five that we talked about last year and Samardzija is one of them, I think that's okay. But I don't think you can do like, I don't think Samardzija can be your biggest pitching acquisition.
No.
This offseason, which I mean, it really kind of, it could be just because their rotation pitched well. If you look at the numbers, the pitching staff as a whole and the starters, they pitched well in 2015. But I still think the expectation is there that, I mean, they said last year that they intended to sign two top line pitchers in the next 2 years. And I just don't think Samardzija can be like your big guy this year.
Don't you guys think that they could nab Samardzija for less than that or fewer years than that, given his 2015 season?
I bet he's still looking for that kind of.
I think here's the thing is I think on paper and everything you would think that might be the case because he did have a bad year, so it can be, you know, one of those contracts that is shorter and kind of gives him a chance to reestablish himself and as he heads into free agency again. But I you know how free agency is and how like by the time players sign, everything's kind of been driven up and it just seems like it isn't the case as much as you would think.
Yeah. And I don't know. I kind of see Samardzija as the guy who would go, he'd go anywhere for the money versus come back to the Cubs to win.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think he goes for the money. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. We didn't really give you a great answer there, Jason.
All these things are so hard. There's infinite options, so it's hard to have a strong opinion on any one.
I know. Yeah. Okay. Next one comes from Jason in New York. Says, "How about?" Or he says, "An idea for the name to replace the scary stats." And how does D's Nuggets grab you?
He threw a grab in there.
I don't think so. What do you think, Kurt? It's your.
I think. Yeah, we'll see. We'll put it in the hat. We'll write it down.
We're gonna table that for now.
I mean, it did make me giggle when I read that email, but
yeah, glad it went to D's Nuggets.
Okay, so David, he has one here. He has one Cub one and non-Cubs one. We'll do his Cubs one first. He says, let's see. My favorite Cub growing up was Mark Grace, who wore number 17, the same as Chris Bryant. While I accept the Cubs won't retire 17 in honor of Grace, is anyone else a little upset that Bryant will likely overshadow Grace at that number? I mean, I can see it being used by a soon-forgotten middle reliever in September call-ups, but there could potentially be a rivalry in the long term among fans who owns the number. Do you see this as a snub of Mark Grace by the organization, or am I just reading too much into this?
Boy, my take on that is that I think the retired jersey, this is probably not a Cubs thing because they haven't done money, but like they've kind of gone overboard a little bit lately. So I'm okay. Like I don't think Grace, I love Grace too. But I don't think he deserves to have his number retired. So I'm fine with Bryant wearing it. Like the Maddox thing, love Maddox, but that one kind of.
The fact that he was wearing Fergie's number?
Well, and that, like, you know, he was brave. I mean, that whole situation. I mean, he was 50-50, I guess, but I don't know. I don't think Maddox deserved to have his Cub number retired.
So let's say, well, I think the reason they did it was because they were retiring the number, and it was Fergie Jenkins wore the number and Greg Maddox, and so it's kind of like it's for both of them.
It's like a diss to Fergie.
Yeah. What do you guys think, like, about there being numbers retired, but then there being numbers that are just kind of like, just like David said, maybe used for like lesser known, you know, players that aren't going to have a legacy.
But wouldn't the flip side be true though? Like, wouldn't you rather let like the next superstar wear it than some random reliever?
Yeah, I guess. But except for, you know, that it's never going, it's always that when people see a jersey, a fan wearing a jersey with 17 on the back, you knew it was going to be Grace, no matter if, you know, whoever came up and wore it. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I'm just not as into numbers meanings.
What do you think, Andy?
Oh, gee whiz. That's a tough question. I don't know. I think he should feel honored to have such a good player wearing his former number.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't feel like it's a diss to Mark Grace. I mean, it's been... what, 20 years? I don't know. It feels like it's been a long time.
Yeah, and he was a great player, but I mean, but he's not, like, think about the other guys whose numbers are retired. He's not on that, quite on that level. I mean, yeah, he was pretty damn good.
Right, yeah. Okay, and then his other question is, he says he'd be interested in hearing an intro on chicken husbandry.
I love the word husbandry.
I know that word kind of threw me off when I read it.
All you need to know is in Danny Rackett's video, basically. That's all Corey does.
Right, right.
Just morosely tosses feed into the pen.
I don't know. I think
he's got fat chickens.
Chickens are just kind of one of those things you just jump into. You figure it out as you go.
You lose a few.
You lose happens. A few along the way. You break some eggs. And you surely don't count them before they're hatched. I mean, you would just wait
right
until the chicken, until the eggs are all in the nests, and then you count them up, right?
Yep. I'm a big fan of having chickens. Lauren in the chat there, she asks about how I feel about urban chickens. I think they're awesome. I mean, we kind of got ours. We started off with six, and it was just going to be that, just to supply our own eggs and. You know, just kind of a fun little project for the girls and stuff like that. But then things get a little carried away. Next thing you know, you have 19.
You got a rooster, and then you got 120.
Yeah. Well, and I built like a huge brooder for them last year because we ended up getting like, I don't know, 30 chicks and
chickster wives.
Yeah. I mean, some urban areas, you know, towns, cities allow them. But I know you can't have a rooster in city limits usually.
You can have them in Iowa City, but like you got to jump through so many hoops to do it. It's totally not worth it.
I mean, a lot of people think they're loud. Hens aren't really loud. People think they stink. They don't really stink that bad. I don't know. They're fun. I enjoy
birds. You've got native on the smell.
Now going into winter. Winter is not a real fun time with chickens, though. Just because, you know, trying to keep their water thawed and all that kind of stuff. But it's really so pretty far. Easy. Like, I mean, really, I can get away with, I fill up their water like every 4 days and I fill up their feeder at the same time. And other than just like, you know, jumping in the coop just to grab the eggs, that's basically all you really need to do.
So I have the girls ended up doing a lot with them.
Oh, heck no. No. My youngest actually does like to go in and collect eggs. She's not scared of them. She's not even scared of the rooster. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. So that's chicken husbandry. Nick says, now that I have two daughters, how do I force Cubs fandom upon them?
Clockwork Orange style, just make them watch all the high points in Cubs history.
I think. Yeah, I have two boys, and or at least for my youngest is only one, so we'll see. But my oldest is, you know, coming up to four. He loves baseball and loves the Cubs, and I feel like he just sort of got it secondhand. Like I didn't really try to force it, but he. He definitely picked it up and he's kind of obsessed. So
that's a good point. I think it is like just them, you modeling being a good Cubs fan,
not a good parent, but being a good Cubs fan.
Right. Yeah.
We're not going to get critical of parenting here. That's not what we do.
Terrible parent, model Cubs fan. It all turns out okay. Because the Cubs teach them the like the characteristics that they need to live a successful life.
But he's also a huge Hawkeye fan, though, so I lost that battle.
Yeah, my girls, like, I mean, one of them is a huge Cubs fan. The other one is kind of, she likes them but doesn't really pay attention. And I didn't really force it on them. I mean, I would just, sometimes I would encourage them to sit down with me and I'd, like, you know, try to, answer any questions they have about the game or whatever. But yeah, I think they just pick it up because it's an interest that you have. And it's not like, I mean, there are interests. I don't know where I was going with that. I mean, there's some interests that, like, okay. I was trying to think of like my parents and like my dad had some interests that when I was a kid, I definitely didn't enjoy because I thought that they were like dorky and lame and everything. And so, I mean, there's those types of interest that your parents have, and then there's ones that like baseball that just you know, kind of appeals to any age, I think. Actually, my dad's interest that drove me nuts will come up later in the show, I think, there, Kurt.
Oh, good.
Oh man, a little teaser.
Is this the music? Yeah, well.
Jason from New Mexico says, why is beer so darn delicious?
I just know that it is, you know?
Yeah, I don't know why, it just is.
Yeah, it just is.
It's simple, beautiful, delicious.
Yep, I have no explanation.
You see, when the yeast gets in there,
when the yeast ferments, and yeast and malt love each other very much.
They're offspring.
Well, I mean, it takes some work to appreciate it too. And then once you do, it's like I work for this, and now I'm being rewarded over and over again.
Right. Mm. Bill says, "What are the Cubs' greatest needs to make it to the World Series in 2016?"
Pitching depth, and
I say more so than pitching is just experience
everywhere, or
pretty much. I mean, I think just kind of a lack of experience in a way may have, you know, if you look at some of the fielding stuff that went wrong in that Mets series, that stuff might be fixed with some experience. I don't know. Like, I don't think. I don't really think that pitching killed them this year.
No, I think
it can help.
Regular season pitching was great. It's just I think in the playoffs is where the lack of like that number three or deeper guy. It wasn't what ruined them. It just would have been nice.
Right.
To have another stellar pitcher.
And it is hard to look at a 97 win team and be like, all right, what what do they need to make it to the World Series when they came very, very close to making it this season?
Right.
So I guess I want to follow up another question to Corey about experience. So are you saying like, you know, talented, but not every day, like a Zobrist type?
No.
Or are you saying like everyday players with experience?
Right. Like more team experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, even individuals, like I think Schwarber having more experience in the outfield and having some postseason experience would maybe lead him to not making some of the fielding mistakes that he made this year in the NLCS. And I think just in general, I think having been there before, and I don't know, I mean, that's not like able to be measured really. I guess you could look at the Royals and say, well, they went last year, didn't have any experience, and then went this year, maybe were more comfortable with the situations and stuff, and that ended with a win. So I just think that maybe some postseason experience and experience that they gain throughout the 2016 season could help them in the postseason if they do get there.
True.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one is from Steven. I really enjoyed this one. Here's my question. If you guys were going to make an IVNV mixtape that was 15 songs long, you each get 5 songs, what would you pick? These must have little to nothing to do with the Cubs and everything to do with the songs that are your favorite ever. I'm a music nerd and want to hear what your favorites are. So I think we should do like a, what do you call that? Like when you go around, like I'll give my number 5, then Kurt, then Andy. This like let's go around weird. Like that. Like, round robin.
I feel like I need to throw out 50 disclaimers about how we... But
well, I think, yeah, mine's a kind of an odd collection too.
Mine is the weirdest collection of songs.
Well, so how about you say the name of the song and then kind of like a little explanation of it.
Okay, we could do that.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and go
I
first.
Should say, like, I'm not, like, you guys have kind of been in the music thing a lot longer than I have. So like, I love music, of course, but I'm not as versed.
See, and I'm not nearly as into music as I used to be.
Yeah, you lost your indie hipster cred.
I guess so.
You're not a card-carrying member anymore.
I turned in my black stocking hat. And
your head sock. All right, let's go. Who's going first?
Go ahead, Andy. You can go.
Well, fudge. All right. In no particular order, I really like the band.
One, or are you doing all three, all five?
Let's just do one.
Just do one
at a time. Okay. One band I really like is Built to Spill, and I really like the song Else off of Keep It Like a Secret. That whole album is boss, but Else is really good. It has great guitar bends. I think that Doug Marsh is a great guitar player, and he sounds sort of like Neil Young when he sings, and I like that.
Okay. Good pick.
They played in the Quad Cities not that long ago. Did you go?
And I missed it. I couldn't get tickets in time.
Oh man,
it ticked me off, man. But I've seen them before, but anyway, they rule.
All right, go ahead, Kurt.
All right, you ready for random? All right, so this one is nobody's ever going to have heard of this, but Jason and Ferris Romero, they are a husband and wife, and their rendition of Wild Bill Jones. You could see it on YouTube. You probably couldn't get the album. And the reason I love it is because Jason Romero is a banjo builder. And for those of you who've been paying attention, I really love me some banjo. And they are not even really the best musicians or the best artists. They are really great. But that's what I love about like mountain bluegrass and Appalachian music, is that it's not about talent. It's about the craft. And I think they're amazing. So Jason and Ferris Romero, any of their songs, but I particularly like Wild Bill Jones.
See, bluegrass and mountain music, that was my dad's big hobby when I was a kid. And he would drag us around to bluegrass festivals, which now I would have loved. Yeah, like I'm really mad at myself for like going and sitting under a tree and pouting probably, you know, and like missing amazing music, because I do love bluegrass now. Okay, my first song, again, yeah, like Andy, in no particular order, is ELO, Electric Light Orchestra, Don't Bring Me Down, because I love that song.
That is a good song, man. There's no denying. It's an undeniable song.
Oh, man, I love ELO. Their greatest hits album is amazing. You know, Evil Woman, there's so many good songs, but they just released a new song, and I was really excited about it, and then I listened to it, and it totally sucks. It's like the... It's like the real slow style. You know, ELO had some songs that were real slow and it sounded just like those. And I was pretty bummed. But, yep, Don't Bring Me Down. It's so amazing.
Good pick.
Go ahead. You're up next, Andy.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I was just thrown off by this comment. All right. My next pick here, I guess, is going to be... I like Modest Mouse, and I'm gonna pick Life Like Weeds by Modest Mouse. It's on The Moon in Antarctica. I like that album, and Life Like Weeds has everything. It has crazy Isaac Brock voice, and it has introspective Isaac Brock voice too. So Life Like Weeds by Modest Mouse.
So my next one is another, of course, banjo player, and this will be my last banjo player. And this is a newer one, but I've really like just fallen in love with this guy. And he goes by Tall Tall Trees. That's not his real name. And the song is How Did It Get Dark So Fast? It's a great mix of like really great indie pop music with banjo, and I love it.
That sounds good. I want to check that out. I haven't heard anything.
I played one for you on the way to St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
The album we listened to.
Okay, I remember now. And I remember liking it.
Yep.
My next one is Jimmy World Blister. I've always liked that song. I like Jimmy World, and I think Clarity is my favorite album of theirs. And Blister is probably my favorite track on that album. So that's why I'm going with that one.
Nice. I saw Jim Adkins play in a barn recently, and he played a bunch of Clarity songs.
Yeah, that sucks. We were out of town. I really wish we could have gone.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. My next one would be one of my favorite bands of all time, Mogwai. And I really love just their loud, soft, loud dynamic, which is, I don't know, it seems kind of immature or something, but it's incredible. They have this song called Rats of the Capitol. It's on the album Happy Songs for Happy People, and I love it so much. They're mostly an instrumental band, and a lot of just kind of quiet, pretty parts, and then loud, just eardrum bleeding parts. Really good.
All right, Kurt.
Sorry, I was lost there. No, I didn't realize that was next. My next one is straight from the indie pop catalog. I would go with Fleet Foxes' The White Winter Hymnal. It's really kind of like, everybody loves that song, and that's why I love it too. Hmm.
You see in the chat that Danny at Sonranto says that Mike Savino from Tall Tall Trees was his banjo player. His banjo teacher, that's awesome. Sorry.
Yeah, well, that's his real name. Yeah, Mike Savino. I love that guy.
My third one is Sunny Day Real Estate Pillars. I like pretty much everything Sunny Day Real Estate has done, but I really enjoy, what is the name of the album? How It Feels to Be Something On. Is that what it's called? Yeah. And Pillars is the first track off that album, and I just really like it. It's like before their stuff, I don't know, I guess that album was kind of their first that seemed like it was produced really well. And it's like that song alone, it just has like a real warm sound to it. I don't really know how else to describe it. But it's kind of, it starts off with like a really warm bass sound and stuff. And I really like that song.
Yeah. And Jeremy Enoch too, such a singular voice.
Right. Yeah.
And that hits you right away, especially on that track. Am I up? My next one, I'm going to say The National is a band I like a lot, and so I picked Mistaken for Strangers by The National. Like the drum beat on it. I like Matt Berninger's deep voice and interesting lyrics. So The National.
Yeah, so now I've moved away from anything new and gone to the old. My next one would be Paul Simon, Obvious Child, because... if you're going to have only a handful of songs, you have to dance to a few of them. And so, like, who doesn't love an amazing drum beat and just some rocking drums? I love that song. My kid loves it, too, and that's part of why I love it, because he loves to dance to it.
Huh. Andy, did you know that I work with someone whose son plays guitar for The National?
What?
Yeah. He's not like an official band member, but I guess he comes out, he's like kind of their guitar tech type guy, but then he comes out and plays some songs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So my fourth one is, I really enjoy the band Braid. And, so I picked one of their songs, and I guess my favorite one that they do is A Dozen Roses. Yeah, I like it. I don't know what else to say about it. I just like it.
Yeah, good stuff, Braid. It's that's pretty nostalgic for me too. Lastly, for me, I'm gonna say I like the band Pavement quite a bit, and I'm gonna say Rattled by the Rush by them or Shady Lane. And you know, Stephen Malkmus isn't necessarily the best singer, but he's not meant to be, really. They came on the scene kind of when grunge was big, and I think that you see a lot of bands trying to emulate what they did back then now, which was so different than what was going on at the time. And so I like them a lot. Rattled by the Rush is pretty sweet.
All right, so again, you guys are digging deep into the unknown still, but I'm going to go to the pop world, and I don't think you could have 15 songs without having a Michael Jackson song. Not everybody loves him, but I do. And I'd probably go with Wanna Be Starting Something, because I love that song.
Hmm.
I don't have to sell you on Michael Jackson.
No.
You may hate him, but...
No, I like Michael Jackson.
He was decent at music.
I didn't like his stuff in the 90s as much, but...
No, not as much. But.
You know what? I have one last one, but a band that I would like to give an honorable mention to, I completely forgot, is the Pixies. I pretty much like any song from the Pixies, but if I had to pick one, it'd maybe be like Gigantic, maybe. But
yeah.
But my official number five is Chuck Mangione, Children of Sanchez. I absolutely love that song, Children of Sanchez. It's not as poppy as some of his other songs. It's kind of like taking a journey. You know, I've never done LSD. I've never done LSD, but
he's taking a journey.
No, but if I were to do some LSD, I would like to take a trip to Children of Sanchez, because I think that song could really take you places. It's the one, you guys know, it's the one that kind of sounds like a like an NFL films type song. Yeah. And yes, it's so good.
We made beer to it one weekend a couple of years ago.
Right? The whole album. We brewed some beer. This is coming full circle. We talked about beer. We talked about music.
Right. This is off season as hell.
I know. This is like, if, you know, there's Cubs, and then there's beer, there's music, kind of chickens, getting into all the favorite
right,
topics.
Right. Yeah. So there, you know what I was thinking we should do? We should create a Spotify playlist with all the songs cool. that we selected here. So I don't know. Look for that in the next few days if I can get some time next to month. Do that. We can run. Yeah. Well,
I can probably make mine.
Yeah, I can put it together. We're driving to Houston this week, so I got some time in the car, and I'll just sync it up to my phone and create a playlist, the IVMV host playlist.
The top 15. It would be great to like put it in some sort of order. Try to like curate it in some way and put it in some weird order, because this is going to be the strangest 15 song playlist ever.
I like jarring mixtapes, though.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And Kurt, you'll notice that I did not include any of my heavier music, which you
thanks.
Do not
you
care for.
You didn't put a Puig Destroyer song in there. No. So I'm thankful for that.
I will have to throw a Puig Destroyer song in the playlist now. But
no, I'll delete it.
All right. Stuart from the St. Louis area says, what is one plausible move you hope the Cubs make this offseason? So no trading Jason Hamill for Mike Trout.
Dang it, that's the one I was gonna say. Come on, Stuart.
Well, I was gonna trade Hamill, but I don't know. I think Hamill's too valuable for Trout.
Yeah. You know, as just attached like Yachty as I Molina. Am to as attached as I am to the Cubs players, I do hope they trade somebody for a pitcher. You know, I hate to see Soler, Baez, Castro. I'd really hate to see one of those guys go, but if it's going to make the team more ready to perform well in the postseason in 2016, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just heard a sharp inhalation of breath. So,
no, I would say I would kind of agree with that. I was generally where I was going is that some sort of back end of the rotation starting pitching deal would be kind of nice, because you need pitching depth even if you sign a big free agent. I think they need a couple more guys to round out this rotation. So I kind of am just going to repeat what you just said.
I think a plausible move it's not necessarily a trade. I think the move that I would like to see them make is to sign Jeff Samardzija. That's the one.
I hope they don't. I hate him. No, I'm just kidding.
There are people out there that hate Samardzija.
Well, he left. They gave him a deal that he was.
Well, you can't blame a guy for that.
Fair deal, and he bounced, and he.
You can't blame somebody for that.
Chasing the
who,
money.
Who can sure, live on 75? Who can live on 75 mil?
He's not interested in awards. He just wants money.
Okay. This next one just seems like it's right down Andy's. I don't know. Right down your. What am I looking for? Wheelhouse. That doesn't write. Whatever. Yeah. Okay. So Sean says, I watched Tom and Jerry with my son. Same ones I grew up on. Same ones my parents grew up on. How much of an impact have these cartoons made on society? Ineffective conflict resolution skills, irresponsible attitudes towards alcohol, and unrealistic pain thresholds. To be clear, I'm not blaming the cartoons and calling for them to be censored. Just curious about their impact.
Not to mention all the new age stuff my mom, you know, my parents were worried about that was in cartoons.
Like the Smurfs.
Yeah, you know, like the Smurfs and what have you.
My mom particularly did not like Thundercats.
Huh.
It's got to be the same escapism that video games provide, right? Just like a chance to blow off some steam by watching, I don't know, Tom hit Jerry with a mallet or whatever.
Right.
The difference is they didn't have like psychologists with like predictive analogies that video games have that make you play for 12 hours. Tom and Jerry just like, hey, what if he hits him on the head? Wouldn't that be cool? I think that's the extent of the thought that goes into it.
Oh, man. I have no thoughts on all that.
I didn't really watch Tom and Jerry that much.
But. Yeah, I did a little bit. But Joe here says, what was your first car?
1987 Dodge Omni.
1987 Chevy Nova.
I had a 1982 Oldsmobile Firenze.
Ooh, I don't even know what that is.
Do you remember that car, Andy?
Yeah, I remember it. Tell the listeners the name of the stereo that was in it.
Oh, a Sparkomatic. I couldn't even get it out. I totally forgot about that stereo.
That's a hot car.
Right there.
Was it the two-door coupe or was it the...
It was a four-door. It didn't last long, though. It did not last long. What's funny is it was given to me by someone. He lived in Bloomington. And then as I got home, I called him to tell him that I got home, and he was surprised that it made it from Bloomington to the Quad Cities.
Oh, wait, Corey, I think you need to tell him about your Surge car. No, wait. Was it Citra?
Citra.
Your Citra car.
Okay. Let me take you through my first three cars. So I had the Oldsmobile Firenze did not last long. Except I think I gave it to my brother. And then I got an 85 Nissan Sentra, and I loved that one. That was that blue car that I had, Andy. And we hooked a semi-truck horn up to it. And it was, the horn was connected to a light switch that anyone in the car could hold. And so we would like drive to the mall parking lot. And then it's like people were walking along the cars to go inside. We'd like pull right up next to them and then flip that switch. So stupid. So stupid. And I would still do it. So I was getting rid of that car, and it was time to buy a new one. And I saw it. It must have been in the paper or something. And it was a, what were those called? 240SX, a Nissan 240SX or 200SX or something like that. And I bought, and so I went and looked at it, and it was bright yellow, and it had like a huge Citra can like taped in the back window, and the girl, she won it from Citra in like a radio station or something.
So, wasn't it a piece of crap too?
It kind of was, yeah. Yeah, it was.
I mean, as far as like it just didn't run well.
Yeah, it seems like I had issues with it. And it was like rear wheel drive, kind of a sports car type, like a fake sports car, so didn't handle well in the snow.
Made a drifter out of it.
Yeah. So that was the, I kind of forgot about that car.
My only other good car story is that I also owned at one point a Geo Metro, which if you don't know what that is, that's little tiny shoebox cars that, and I'm 6'5", so I could literally touch any window in the car from the driver's seat. No joke. I could touch the back window. So it was amazing. And I would drive it.
You
can
touch the front window and the back window at the same time. Yes.
I would drive it from Bloomington home, and it wouldn't do more than about 62 miles an hour. So,
Oh man.
My gosh. Yeah. I mean, doesn't it say a lot that you, because they were like three cylinders, right? Yeah. But
barely get out of its own way.
Weird that you don't see those on the, you don't see any of those anymore.
No.
I mean, they rusted out within 3 years.
Right. I mean, wouldn't it be funny if you just saw like a cherry one driving down the street like at some point?
Somebody
just
kept it in their garage because they were like, this is still a vehicle like this item.
It was like ground effects and stuff on it.
Did you guys, man, I kind of miss the days of having like really crappy cars. Did you guys remember, like you mentioned that one kind of topped out at 62. My blue, the Nissan Sentra that I had, I always knew when I hit 65 because it just like shook uncontrollably. It's like I never had to look at the speedometer. I could always tell if I was like when I hit 65 when everything just the entire car. Because
when you're 18, you don't consider that that's dangerous. But when you're, you know, in your 30s and you got kids, you're like, this is probably dangerous.
I know.
I should probably not die.
Andy, do you remember my brother's Ford Tempo that had the shop back brakes? And you would sit, remember you would sit in the back seat and he'd go down like a huge hill and then just pump his brakes the whole time. And then the back end was like literally bouncing off the ground and it would like throw you into the front seat. Oh, man. First cars. Okay, moving on. Dave says, do you think Neil Ramirez will bounce back?
I hope so.
I really, really like Neil Ramirez, and I don't know if I've said that a million times before, but he really seems like he has dealt with a lot of injuries, and maybe pitching is a little too rough on his body. I don't know. I hope not. I hope he can bounce back and he shows some resilience because I like his stuff. I think it's really good.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then Dave also says, would you make a play for Chapman?
No.
You wouldn't?
No. Clubhouse, again.
I don't know what he's like in a clubhouse. I mean, him and Rizzo can get past their stuff. I wouldn't mind having a closer that can throw 104 miles an hour and strike everybody out.
Well, yeah, if his name wasn't Aroldis Chapman, because... I mean, you can't deny the fact that he throws harder than anybody, but I don't know. I just think you walking on eggshells with.
I guess, yeah. I don't know. It's really hard to kind of comment on the clubhouse stuff because we just don't know.
Yeah.
He seems like a turd. I mean, he's displayed some. He's done some really goofy and irritating stuff on the field. And so who knows what it, you know, if that carries over into the clubhouse or not, but
yeah, I guess the Cubs wouldn't have, Taylor Teagarden. Remember the Cubs got a hit off of him. Teagarden got that like big hit off of, Chapman. It was like
Chapman,
the most unlikely hit in the history of baseball.
And I guess in a more serious, I just don't want to see them that put their money there.
Well, I mean, it would be a trade. He's not a free agent. I think he has 1 year left on his contract with the Reds, and they've kind of indicated that they would like to move him.
Yeah, not for.
Yeah, and plus, I guess, you know, Rondon has done well. So is the closer spot. Is that an issue for the Cubs? It doesn't really feel like it is.
Because I think Madden has kind of accepted the fact that he's okay with maybe you don't have a assigned designated closer. Like you just go with who's hot. He did that bullpen closer by committee and it worked out well. So
you don't need a guy that throws 100 miles an hour, 102 or whatever to convert 35 out of 39 saves or whatever.
Yeah, I know, but he is like kind of he is like a closer on a different level. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's definitely. I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't care.
I guess it does come down for me. It does come down to the clubhouse stuff. I think you just don't want to mess with the clubhouse chemistry, and so I think that's definitely something you would take into consideration.
But you're right too. Like the Cubs face four or five teams in a season where I'm like, oh man, if they only had a closer like this team has.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, there is another level out there beyond what they currently have, but
yeah, like the only thing that makes me want to watch the Reds ever is Chapman.
Oh,
right. So scary.
Well, I just think it like when we went to when we hung out with Michael from Colorado and Artie, we went to that game, that Rockies game in Denver, and they were playing the Reds, and I was just really excited at the chance that we would get to see Chapman, and unfortunately the Reds blew it before we had that chance. But yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be opposed to him. I'll just put it that way, I guess. Bob from the UK says, what do you all, Corey in particular, think of Peter Capaldi as the latest incarnation of the Doctor? I'm so glad we got a Doctor Who question.
Doctor Who, so I'll just remain silent.
Yeah, but yeah, what is your favorite Doctor Who, Corey?
Shut up.
Peter?
I really like Capaldi as the Doctor. After he took over the show kind of had like a definite like mood change with him, and he has the perfect eyebrows for that mood change. So I liked it. I did not like Clara Oswald. Spoilers, Clara died in last night's episode. So
boy, you didn't even pause.
After spoiler,
you just spit it out.
Well, I think anybody that follows Doctor Who knows that she was going to die at some point this season. So
you think he really fills out that phone booth really well?
He's good. Next. Like it's not, he's not nearly as like whimsical as like Matt Smith was, or even David Tennant, but I like the kind of like intensity that he brings to it. Those eyebrows are awesome.
Can we talk about first cars again?
Okay. Moving on. Hey, Bob asked, I'm going to answer it. You guys have any thoughts on,
I watched half of one episode. That's all
I've seen two episodes, I think. And it was fine. It was pretty good.
Okay.
I just don't want to offend people.
I haven't seen a Peter Capaldi one, so.
He's good. He's good. Let's see. Jason from New Mexico says, can we have the caption contest back for the off season? I don't know. Maybe we could just do it and like kind of keep it confined to the Facebook page or something.
You just vote by likes or something.
Right. That's not a bad idea. He also says, should I quit my job, buy a new bike, and tour all the major and minor league parks next summer, or should I avoid divorce court?
By bike, I assume he means motorcycle.
I'm thinking.
Bicycle, take him a while.
Avoid divorce court and go to the occasional park when you can.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I advocate for avoiding divorce.
And then Jason also says, okay, seriously, fasten zip or zip fasten?
I have no idea what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
I don't know either.
Is that a trucking thing?
I have no idea. Okay, Heather says, boxers or briefs? This is not a question I ever expected us to get on the podcast. I never thought that we would be asked boxers or briefs.
I'm a hybrid guy. I got the boxer briefs.
Commando.
I do boxer briefs too.
Yeah, same here. Let's make it a 3-for-3 on the boxer briefs. They're awesome because they provide a little bit more structure than stupid boxers.
Yeah,
but then,
I could not go back to boxers.
There's a good episode of the Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee and a conversation about this, and I actually can't even remember who the comedian is, but they talk about it. It's funny.
Podcast recommendation before we get to that question.
Yeah.
Well, that's more of like a show, but I mean, call it like a video podcast.
Don says, what's the best baseball game you've ever attended in person?
For me, game 4, 2015 NLDS.
Yep, me too.
Well, and since I, you know, didn't make it to that game, I would go game 2, NLDS 2015. That was pretty incredible.
That was a close runner-up.
I just read in the chat there, Taylor says, we know what Andy's father-in-law wears, unfortunately. Oh, man. That was such a great episode.
He only wears those when he reads the newspaper that he changes.
Game 2 was fun, man.
Yeah, it was.
There's no doubt. Game 2 was freaking sweet.
Game 2 was fun, but man, Game 4 was just something really special. And that's definitely, I think it's going to, I think it'll be tough for it to get any better for me in person.
At least, you know, the only thing that saves me from being upset about that is that I was on a beach.
Yeah, there you go.
When that happened.
Okay, so now we have two questions on the same topic. First off, Lauren says, what are some of your podcast recommendations to get us through the cold, barren off season, also known as winter? And then Jeremy in Cleveland, Ohio says, I know this may be, or let's see, I'm gonna skip some of that. He says, I have to work and I drive for work and I'm in the car 7 hours a day and I'm looking for something to listen to. Your October podcast run spoiled me and not being able to listen to you guys every day is a bummer. I found you before the season started and am very grateful. You guys do great work. Even my Indians fan girlfriend enjoys listening. You gave me a way of keeping up with the Cubs while not having any Cubs fans around. Keep up the great work and look forward to many more seasons of fun. So that was a nice email.
Thank you.
There. So kind of the same question. Any podcast recommendations?
Go ahead, Kurt.
I would say, okay, so I don't do a lot of new podcasts. It's hard for me to keep up, but one that I've started doing, this company called Loyal Books, and it's basically audiobooks, so it's not really a podcast, but they release them as podcasts. So, and I think in your case, since you're driving for 7 hours, but it's all public domain books read by volunteers. It releases a podcast, and so it's sort of like, I can't even remember what the name of that
Audible
company is. Yes, it's like, I mean, it's probably not that good, but it's like, you know, free Audible classic books, and I'm currently listening to some, to The Yosemite by John Muir. So, free stuff, classic books, good nice. For long, long trips.
Nice, that's a good rec. For me, I'm going to give listeners some specific episodes of podcasts to check out. There's an episode called With Special Guest Lauren Lapkus. And she is always the guest and not the host. So she always has like guest hosts and they come up with their own premise for the show. And she's always a guest on it. It's kind of a hilarious idea. But there's this comedian, James Adomian, I think is really funny. And if you're familiar with Tom Lakis, he's a radio personality in California.
I hate that dude.
All right. Well, you need to listen to this With Special Guest Lauren Lapkus, February 13th episode featuring James Adomian, the Tom Lakis radio program, where he does an impersonation of Tom Lakis that is hilarious. Also, Dead Authors Podcast. Listen to Chapter 28, which is Walt Whitman featuring James Adomian. Or, in honor of the new Bond movie, Chapter 38, which is Ian Fleming featuring Matt Gurley. And the premise is Paul F. Tompkins is H.G. Wells. And he has his time machine from his famous novel. And he uses it to go grab famous authors from the past and bring them to the present and interview them. And I think it's great. And finally, Borderline Podcast, which is three weird Twitter people that have huge followings on Twitter, interviewing a fourth person who has quite a following on Twitter. And I like it a lot. It's listen to episode 59 or 67 of the Borderline Podcast. That's it.
I'm just going to throw a bunch out there. So, well, first off, we have, you know, some podcasts that listeners of this podcast do. So I would suggest checking them out. I Hate Critics, the Awesome 80s Podcast, and Always Listening. So those are three I would check out.
Son Ranto, too.
Yeah, of course. I was going to get to them later. I lumped them in with the baseball ones.
All right.
And then, so there's one that I think just maybe started about 2 months ago. And I think today they released their last episode. And it's called The Message. Have you guys heard about this?
No.
Okay. It's kind of...
You said you mentioned it last week, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I did when we were...
You mentioned it before.
When we weren't recording. So it's kind of like, if you enjoyed Serial, you would probably enjoy The Message. It's a little more... It's fictional. And it's a little more like... It's short. Like, they're really... I think there was only 10 episodes or something like that. And a lot of them are only like 10 or 12 minutes long. So you can race through them really quickly. And it's pretty cool. The message, it's about a message that they intercepted from outer space and trying to decode it. That's the gist of it. It's pretty interesting. I enjoy, How to Do Everything. I don't know if you guys have listened to that one, but that's a good one. It's an NPR type podcast, but it's all only like 15 or 20 minutes long, and they basically just like people send in really weird questions about, I don't know, it's just almost like a I don't even know how to describe it. It's just like kind of one of those, like, where did this saying come from? Type, I don't know. Check it out.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's good. Planet Money, Freakonomics, The Moth, The Truth, The World of Phil Hendry, Us and Them, Common Sense by Dan Carlin. I saw in the chat they were talking about hardcore history. Dan Carlin does that. And then I think I've talked about on here the podcast I'm Dying Here, and it is done by PJ Allers, and he was in a podcast I really enjoyed called Planned Brotherhood. It was him and his brother, and PJ was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer, and so he's podcasting about just the different like topics, you know, just like cancer related topics. The last one he talked about, the one before this last one was about guilt, and so he talked about like the different types of guilt that he goes through with his diagnosis. It's really good, and obviously I've enjoyed listening to those guys for a long time. But if you want to stick with baseball, Effectively Wild, Fangraphs, the Jabo podcast, and there's a couple other Cubs podcasts definitely worth checking out. The Sun Ranto show, obviously, and Wrigleyville Nation, and I forget what Brett and Sahada's new podcast is called. I forget what it's called. Shoot. I gotta look now. Limited Range, that's right. So check those out. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I enjoy them. Next question here from Lauren is, what's the official IVMV position on the is a hot dog a sandwich debate?
It is not. That's my we don't have an official, but that's my take. It's
yeah.
Not a sandwich.
What's yours, Corey?
I guess I would say no, it's not a sandwich.
What? Okay, I think it is a sandwich. So that's my position. So I guess
so there two is out no of three, official.
Our official position is it's not a sandwich, but asterisk next to that.
right. And then the last question she asks is, what is everyone's favorite beer?
Oh, boy. This is almost as hard as the music question. I have two answers, and one is like special occasions, like, you know, you just want to get a nice beer. I would probably get like a St. Bernardus, the App 12. I love the Belgian style beers, and so I would probably get something like that. I think it's a quad. And then, but see, you can't drink that, you know,
it's not sessionable.
Right. And so if you told me like you just gotta pick a beer and that's what you're gonna drink, I'd probably go with like a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale because it's really good. It's really nice, middle of the road. It's hoppy, but not overly. So those are my picks.
Okay. Corey, you want to go?
I guess like I'll just go with this time of the year, like cold weather. I really enjoy Old Rasputin. And so I guess that would be my like cold weather beer, and Jingle Java, of course.
that's your favorite.
I mean, of course, there's the ones that are really hard to get that I really like, you know, like, you know, Gumball Head, Heady Topper, Pliny the Elder. But as far as accessible stuff, I really like Two Hearted, but from Bell's, and I like Breakfast Stout from Founders, Kentucky Breakfast Stout. I think it's delicious. So there you go.
Okay. Timothy here has a question. He says two sports questions. What makes Jongi Super Crack such an elite racing pigeon? I have no idea what he's talking about. He's got all this about, I don't know, pigeon racing. I don't know.
Is that a Mike Tyson pigeon? Isn't he super into pigeon racing?
There's a lot less drag with that particular pigeon to decrease the airspeed velocity. And so I think that's it. I mean, I think it's because of the narrow profile.
Right. Okay. One last one here. This is from Joe. If you could pick, would you want Castro or Baez starting at second base in 2016 with the other being traded?
Oh man.
Ooh. Pick your favorite.
Shucks. Baez.
Yeah. Baez.
Huh.
It's hard, though.
It is hard.
It's not easy.
Man, I don't know. I guess Baez, but no, I think Castro.
I would say Baez, but it's close. Like, it's not an overwhelming.
I think if Baez was a little bit more established, if we would have seen him more in 2015 and known, if we knew that he could definitely hang with starting pitching and everything, then maybe my answer would be Baez. But as of right now, I think it has to be Castro. Okay, so those are all the questions. Thanks to everybody that sent those in. Those were fun.
And a hot dog is a sandwich.
Right. So do you guys have any internet muscle flexes?
I don't.
Do you, Andy?
No.
Okay, I have a couple here. I don't even remember which. These both come from Cubs Instagram, and I just almost dropped my phone, so I lost it. I've got a couple. Yeah. So I don't even know what pictures these were on. But this one says, and there's no punctuation in this. And so you're going to have to forgive me as I try to like figure out it's like poor grammar and no punctuation, which is like the worst thing, two things you can put together, I think. So this person says, "We Cubs fans are tired of shit guys. We want a pennant. John Lester is a high paid 500 pitcher. What do we sign him for? Just because he knows the game. And if we wanted a guy that knows the game, we would hire a good pitching coach. That's what John Lester is, a good pitching coach." Okay, so then this next one, and this guy went on like a tear. So there's all sorts of comments he left. Says, "Who thinks the Cubs should do a trade with New York Mets, Daniel Murphy for Starlin Castro?" Murphy's a free agent, by the way. Next person says, "Mets wouldn't even accept that." And then the first guy responds by saying, "They have to say yes. They can't say no. We would have to give them a player. I say Castro or money." Then he says, "This is my opinion for the best five batters." Again, my opinion. Number five batter on the Cubs, Arrieta. Number four, Montero. Three, Schwarber. Two, Bryant. One, Rizzo. And then somebody says, "You don't know what you're talking about," saying that no, the Mets don't have to trade him to the Cubs. And he said, "Actually, my dad said they can't say no." Oh man. So Cubs, Mets can't say no to a trade with the Cubs when it comes to Daniel Murphy. It is against the rules. They cannot say no.
If they a free agent. Trade for Daniel Murphy, I will no longer be a Cubs fan.
He's a free agent.
I know. That's why I'm saying it.
So that does it for this episode, which is brought to you by all 122 of our Patreon supporters. Our Patreon associate producers are Matthew Macer, Anthony Hudfels, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Andrew Gross, Tim Marr, Ryan Winkle, Tristan Nichols, and the Quad City's own Jason Nunn. This podcast does cost us money to produce. Our Patreon supporters help us pay the podcasting bills, and those funds help us improve things. Andy, you got a new mic stand after yours broke. Unfortunately, Amazon delivered it to my house instead of yours. So you will have that by the next episode. You won't have to hold your microphone. There are costs with doing this podcast. And when those needs come along, the funds from Patreon help us take care of them. If you enjoy our podcast, check out our Patreon campaign. You can pledge as little as $1 a month. Do that and you'll get a few IVMV stickers in the mail. The perks get better at every level. So check it all out at patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. So next week's episode will be a few days late. I'll be traveling Sunday night to get out of the snow. So we're going to Houston. It's supposed to be 77 there, I saw. So that's going to be better than this BS in our yard right now.
Quick weekend, John.
Yeah, exactly.
For the Fenner and family.
Right. So look for our next episode, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. And if you're on Stitcher, then, let that be the first episode of our podcast that you listen to on a decent podcast app. So thank you for listening. And for those of you in the United States, travel safe this week. Enjoy your time with family and do your best to avoid talking politics at the Thanksgiving table. Just talk about the 2015 Cubs instead. So until next time, go Cubs.